Hello and welcome to the Open Systems Media eCast titled Solving Real-Time Direction Finding and Spectrum Monitoring with Software-Defined Radios. My name is John McHale, Group Editorial Director with Military Embedded Systems Magazine and moderator for today's event. Our speaker today is Juan Liu, Product Manager, USRP SDR at Edis Research. Juan is the Product Manager of the USRP brand of software-defined radios at Edis Research, where he works closely with customers on a variety of SDR applications to understand their requirements and to define product features that enable their success. He's also responsible for launching new products, creating material to improve ease of use, and ensuring high-quality user experience. Juan manages products such as the Super Heterodyne Twin RX receiver for spectrum monitoring and direction-finding applications. He graduated from McGill University in Montreal, Canada, with a Bachelor's of Electrical Engineering. Now for some short housekeeping announcements. This and all Open Systems Media eCast are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Today's eCast will consume about 40 to 45 minutes, leaving the remaining time for the question and answer session. Now I want to point out some important buttons on your screen. First, please take note of the Enlarge Slides button. By clicking on this button, you'll be able to view the slides in full screen mode. You can then use the Download Slide button to view the slides as a PDF or to see them larger. This next important button is the Forward to a Friend button, which enables you to email a friend to register for today's event. The third button on your console window allows you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address these questions during the closing Q&A session. If you have a question intended for a specific speaker, please note so at the beginning of your question. Otherwise, I'll hand out the questions equally to our speakers. If you have a question pertaining to the eCast operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the eCast. And please note that as much as we'd like to, we may not get to all of your questions today. In that case, someone may get back to you after the eCast with more information. But also note, we will be displaying a short video from National Instruments right before we start the Q&A. This eCast will be archived online and be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available. And now please turn it over to Juan. Take it away.
Thank you, John, for the introduction. So let's get started. In this presentation, you'll learn how to build real-time direction finding and spectrum monitoring applications using a technology called software-defined radios. I'll start by discussing the challenges that many face while conducting signals intelligence operations in the modern battlefield. And from there, we'll discuss solutions for building advanced wireless systems that enable successful missions. In the radio and communication, off-the-shelf components continues to grow. This trend increases the accessibility of advanced radio technology, which also increases the quantity and variety of assets and threats to be concerned about. This issue is compounded by the rapid evolution of technology in terms of new waveforms, protocols, and devices. So ultimately, this means there are more stringent and complex requirements that must be met to reliably operate in multiple mission environments. In our experience of working with multiple facets of this industry, we've identified some requirements that people commonly ask for. Minimizing size, weight, and power is important for successful deployment in various scenarios. SIGIN systems may be deployed on vehicles, in manned operators, or controlled remotely. Therefore, compact size and power efficiency are both key requirements. With little prior knowledge of target signals, radios need to scan across a wide frequency range. Scanning rates are required to simultaneously capture targets that occupy wide bandwidth. Processing wideband signals requires significant computational resources, and algorithms often need to run in real time and with low latency. There is also a growing emphasis on high channel count and precise synchronization in modern wireless systems in order to leverage techniques such as angle of arrival and time difference of arrival for locating targets. And finally, application development must be supported by multiple industry standard or custom in-house software tool flows. So to be successful, you need to design, prototype, and deploy the solution for these requirements in a relatively short time. We'll discuss how software-defined radios, or SDRs, allow you to do this. Before we dive into the details of SDR hardware and software architecture, I'll provide a brief overview of our company. Etus Research has been an industry standard in SDR since 2004 and develops SDR platforms using open source tools such as GNU Radio. Open source tools enable the development of highly modifiable software applications that are integration friendly and supported by a large community of industry and academic contributors. National Instruments, or NI, was acquired Etus Research in 2010 and integrated our SDR platform into their LabVIEW ecosystem. LabVIEW is a unified design tool that targets multiple computational architectures and supports a large hardware ecosystem. As an environment, LabVIEW is designed to reduce development time so users can prototype faster. LabVIEW is also supported by a vast network of NI's industry partners that provide turnkey application solutions. Therefore, our SDR platform is offered through both the Etus Research brand and the NI brand, allowing users to choose the tools that work best for them. So at this point, you're probably wondering what is a software-defined radio. So let's look at the anatomy of a generic SDR. Unlike traditional radios that are designed specifically for a certain application, SDRs must have a flexible architecture that meets the requirements of a wide range of applications. Its functionality is defined primarily by software development. There are three critical architectural components to an SDR. First, we have the RF frontend, which includes up and down converters, local oscillators, LNAs, attenuators, and filters. The RF frontend is designed to cover a wide frequency range, typically up to 6 GHz. Therefore, RF performance, such as dynamic range and phase noise, is optimized across the full frequency range rather than for application-specific bands. SDRs are designed to be general-purpose radios. In addition, SDRs typically support multiple channels with wide instantaneous bandwidth per channel. The second key component to an SDR is the baseband processor, which runs the software stack that defines the radio's functionality. Modern SDRs include FPGAs to accelerate computationally heavy algorithms that require real-time and low-latency response. Users can also develop applications using traditional programming tool flows such as C++ and Python by connecting the SDR to a general-purpose processor such as an Intel or ARM CPU. The last critical component of an SDR is the clocking system, which provides precise synchronization between multiple channels on a single SDR or across multiple SDRs in a large, scalable MIMO system. The clocking system provides synchronization of the baseband samples and phase alignment of the RF signal. Synchronization can also be distributed across large distances using GPS or Ethernet-based protocols. Now that we understand what is an SDR, let's look at a specific example that was designed with SIGINT applications in mind. The USRP product family is the brand of SDRs provided by NI and Etus Research. USRP stands for Universal Software Radio Peripheral. The USRP X310 is our highest performance product. The X310 is a motherboard that houses the baseband processor and has two slots for installing interchangeable RF frontends called daughter boards. We'll discuss daughter boards in the next slide, but first let's examine the X310 closely. There are 14-bit ADCs and 16-bit DACs for wide dynamic range. They also have high sampling rates to capture wide instantaneous bandwidths. There is a large user programmable FPGA for real-time and low-latency signal processing, and the reconfigurable nature of the FPGA enables hardware reuse across multiple missions and applications. Common algorithms that require FPGA acceleration include channelization, analysis, sensing, classification, and emulation. As mentioned earlier, applications can also be developed in traditional programming languages that target general purpose processors. High-speed interfaces such as 10 gigabit Ethernet and PCIe enable streaming of IQ data from the FPGA to a host PC at the full real-time bandwidth. Streaming samples to the host PC is useful for data aggregation, record and playback, and post-processing in general. There are also more reference designs that target the host PC than the FPGA. The ability to share reference clocks, lock the GPS, share LOs, enable the implementation of large scalable MIMO testbeds, which are applicable to geolocation, direction finding, spatial multiplexing, and spatial correlation techniques. Finally, the X310 has a compact form factor that provides high channel density. The chassis has the standard size of a half-wide rack unit, which simplifies integration into larger systems. This motherboard and daughterboard design provides modularity to tailor a wide range of applications while reducing overall system cost. This approach gives users flexibility and choice. Our selection of daughterboards differ in frequency range from DC all the way to 6 GHz. They also vary in bandwidth and that range from 30 MHz to 160 MHz. And they also come in different architectures, such as 0IF, direct sampling, and super heterodyne. The TwinRX is a daughterboard designed specifically with the requirements of SIGINT in mind. TwinRX is highly differentiated by its channel density. There are two independently tuned receiver channels per TwinRX daughterboard, and therefore you get four receive channels per X310, which contains two daughterboards as previously mentioned. And then finally, you get a total of eight receiver channels in a single rack unit due to the X310's half-wide 1U form factor. Each receiver channel has a two-stage super heterodyne architecture for optimal dynamic range and selectivity. Each channel has 80 MHz of instantaneous bandwidth, so you can independently monitor multiple wide bands of interest and quickly scan the full frequency range of the device from 10 MHz to 6 GHz. Once a signal is detected, users can share the LO across multiple channels to achieve tight phase alignment, which is required for direction finding applications. Synchronization with the TwinRX and the X310 also scales to large high channel count systems. Using the LO input and output ports and external components such as splitters, amplifiers, and our clock distribution accessory, phase alignment can be achieved across multiple devices. Synchronization of two X310 devices provides eight independently tuned or phase coherent receiver channels in a single rack mount slot. Selecting the right hardware is only part of the solution. It is just as important to choose the right software tools to build a complete SIGINT system using SDRs. NI's USRP platform offers unmatched flexibility and choice in software design environments. The X310 motherboard and TwinRX daughterboard are part of a larger family of USRP SDRs. Other USRP models range from cost-effective single-board devices that were designed for OEM integration to compact and rugged embedded radios that can be field deployed. Etis Research provides an open-source device driver called UHD, which stands for USRP Hardware Driver, to support application development on all USRP products. Therefore, software design scales with application complexity and is easily portable when new devices become available. UHD runs on multiple operating systems and integrates with a variety of industry standard development environments such as LabVIEW, GNU Radio, and the MathWork products. UHD is highly modifiable due to its open source nature. Users can also develop applications directly using its C++ API, which enables integration into custom software frameworks that were designed in-house. The USRP product family is highly differentiated in the SDR market due to this cross-platform support offered by UHD. UHD has two licensing options. You can use the default open source license under GPL v3, or there's an alternative proprietary license provided by NI to take for users who wish to take the platform into production. Let's look at the design tools offered by several industry standard environments that support USRP SDRs. As mentioned earlier, the application of an SDR can run on a general purpose processor or an FPGA. All three supported environments shown here provide design tools that target both computing architectures. This presentation, however, will focus on LabVIEW and GNU Radio. Prototyping new communication algorithms with hardware and real-world signals is still a significant challenge today. In order to put theory into practice, a designer must manage a variety of disparate software tools targeting multiple processor architectures. Successful transition from algorithm to hardware often requires specialist knowledge of the computation architecture. This leads to long learning curves and limited reuse, and also increases cost and time to results. LabVIEW is the flagship development environment created by NI and used by scientists and engineers for over 30 years. LabVIEW provides a graphical programming language that utilizes a block diagram approach to implementing software data flow. LabVIEW can be used to target not only GPPs, but also FPGAs. Therefore, unifying the design from algorithm to hardware into a single tool flow. From there, LabVIEW also provides a rich library of application-specific toolkits, including DSP and modulation IP. LabVIEW also supports integration of multiple third-party languages, so users can leverage existing work and perform multiple design tasks from a single environment. In addition to USRP SDRs, LabVIEW also supports NI's larger hardware ecosystem. G is the graphical programming language that is native to LabVIEW. It follows a data flow software paradigm and supports parallelism. Graphical programming provides users with an intuitive approach to design. Users can also integrate mFile scripts, which represents MATLAB models, and procedural C code into a single cohesive environment. LabVIEW also provides several libraries of DSP functions for wireless communications, such as modulators, modulation, demodulation, filters, windows, channel coding, and waveform analysis blocks. More complex SIGINT systems may require more than an SDR. LabVIEW supports a large hardware ecosystem of NI synchronization modules, switches, high-speed storage devices, and FPGA coprocessors for building a complete application solution. LabVIEW's most differentiated feature is the ability to simplify FPGA programming. Although the FPGA is important for accelerating algorithms that require real-time and low-latency response, it is often not accessible to new users due to the complexity of software development. Significant effort is required to accelerate even simple DSP blocks. LabVIEW's graphical approach enables users to program intuitively, and abstracts away several architectural complexities of the FPGA. Those basic building blocks are also readily available to drag and drop into your design. Advanced FPGA users can also integrate their own VHDL code or IP cores. Now that we examined LabVIEW, let's look at an alternative SDR design tool called GNU Radio. GNU Radio is the leading SDR framework in the open source community. As such, it is highly customizable. GNU Radio enables design and deployment of applications from the same workflow. It is widely used in government, commercial, academic environments, and is supported by a large ecosystem of SDR vendors and community contributors. Design flows include a graphical tool for schematic capture, traditional C++ and Python, as well as hardware description languages or HDLs for leveraging the FPGA. GNU Radio's different design flows differ in simplicity and capability. At the highest level of design, GNU Radio provides a graphical tool called GNU Radio Companion, or GRC, which allow users to quickly connect ready-to-use algorithmic blocks to build an application. GRC then generates a Python script, which does not require compilation to run. If functionality is not readily available in a native GNU Radio block, users can also create their own blocks directly with Python. Since Python is a high-level object-oriented programming language that does not require compilation, it is useful for fast prototyping and for creating advanced control and management features such as user interfaces and automation. However, performance is critical in many wireless applications, especially those that require high bandwidth. Users can also develop custom blocks using C++, which is a compiled language and optimized for performance on general purpose processors. Computationally intensive blocks should be developed in C++. To facilitate FPGA development, Etis Research recently introduced a tool in UHD called RFNoC, which stands for RF Network on Chip. RFNoC is a framework that helps FPGA developers integrate IP into the USRP DSP chain. It also interfaces with GNU Radio to build applications within GRC that includes blocks targeting both the FPGA and the general purpose processor. RFNoC also supports HDLs and high-level synthesis tools. The best place to find getting started resources is the GNU Radio website. You will find step-by-step walkthroughs, including installation instructions. There are also several detailed tutorials that exercise the different design flows with varying levels of expertise. The easiest way to build an application in GNU Radio is to leverage its diverse selection of ready-to-use application IP. We can take a graphical approach to design by using the GRC tool to quickly connect blocks together to create a flow graph. Here you see a simple flow graph that shows the behavior of various FR filters. This flow graph connects a signal source block for Gaussian noise, several FIR filter blocks with different taps, and a frequency sync display block that plots the resulting signals. The auxiliary blocks on the edges of the diagram are used to configure settings of the blocks in the main DSP chain. For example, each filter block is an instance of the same generic filter, configured with different tabs using the blocks in the top row. All the blocks on this flow graph are native to GNU Radio are listed in the right column. You can use Control F to search this library for more blocks to add to your design. When we run a flow graph, we see that the display block, like the frequency sync, provides advanced GUI functionality to enable users to quickly visualize their results. This flow graph is one of several shipping examples of GNU Radio, which can be found in the install directory. Flow graph files have the extension .grc. As mentioned earlier, GNU Radio Companion is actually a Python script generator. We can develop the exact same application by directly calling the GNU Radio Python API. However, GRC simplifies the connection of long DSP chains where each block could have several settings to configure. GRC itself is not a programming language. We can use GRC to create a quick prototype and then add more advanced functionality such as control and management by modifying the Python script. Users can also add their own blocks to GNU Radio. For example, there is no native GNU Radio block that implements the music algorithm for direction finding. Custom blocks are part of add-ons called out-of-tree modules. The direction finding receiver shown in this flow graph uses custom blocks in a module called GRDOA provided by Entis Research. The GNU Radio website provides guidelines and tools to facilitate the creation of out-of-tree modules. Source code for these modules are typically hosted on the contributors' GitHub page. The GRDOA module serves as a reference application for the X310 and TwinRX. It can also run in simulation mode to help users understand the algorithm without using hardware. Later you will see a video demonstration of the same application but implemented in LabVIEW. The music algorithm is a great example of a computationally heavy application. Computing an autocorrelation matrix takes up significant processing resources. Therefore, it should be implemented in C++ for optimal performance. Although GRDOA targets general-purpose processors, a component like the autocorrelation block is an ideal candidate for FPGA acceleration. It is good practice to consider modularity when designing your blocks so they can later be deployed to the FPGA. Before developing your own code, it is often worth checking within the large GNU Radio community for existing libraries. Users contribute to the project by creating application-specific add-ons. There are popular modules for spectrum monitoring and analysis, direction finding, digital video broadcasting, GNSS, radar, blind classification, and many more. Visit GNUradio.org for more information on the environment and search for out-of-tree modules on cgrant.org. Now it's time to look at an application example using USRP developed with LabVIEW. We'll watch a video demonstration of a LabVIEW reference application for direction finding that implements the music algorithm. We use the USRP 2945 to build a four-channel direction finding receiver that tracks a commercial off-the-shelf FRS radio. The USRP 2945 is just the NI-branded equivalent of the USRP X310 motherboard and two TwinRX daughter boards that we saw earlier. The music algorithm is developed as an mFile script that is then integrated into LabVIEW. We use the LO sharing feature of the TwinRX to achieve phase coherency.
Hi, I'm Michael, an engineer at National Instruments. Today, I'm going to show you how to implement direction finding using NI USRP and LabVIEW. In the hardware setup, we have the USRP 2945, which features four RX channels with 80 MHz of bandwidth each. It also features an onboard LabVIEW programmable FPGA. I have an antenna array with four elements that are each spaced a half wavelength apart. Each antenna is connected to a port on the USRP. I also have a walkie-talkie that transmits at 460 MHz. Now let's take a look at the LabVIEW-based code. On the left, I have input my phase calibration information. On the right, I configure my carrier frequency and my filter. When I'm ready to go, I click Run. You can see the angle of the walkie-talkie with relation to the antenna array reflected in the dial at the center of the VI. As I move the walkie-talkie, the angle changes. Below the dial, you can see the output of the angle of arrival algorithm. The peak shows the estimated location of the signal source, in this case, the walkie-talkie. The smaller peaks are from reflections in the room. As I move the walkie-talkie, the large peak moves along the x-axis, allowing me to locate the source. You can implement your own algorithms using LabVIEW or MathScript on the host, or by using LabVIEW FPGA. Additionally, you can use multiple USRP 2945 USRP RIOs to implement large antenna arrays using LO sharing. So that's how you can implement direction finding on the USRP 2945 with LabVIEW. You can find out more about this demonstration and about the USRP 2945 at ni.com/USRP-RIO.
I'm here. Let's start the Q&A. Thank you guys for listening in. And a great presentation, Juan. I encourage the audience to start sending your questions in. You've got a good 25 minutes here with Juan. So let's start her up. Our first question from the audience. Where do I find information on open source Python C++ USRP?
Okay. So there are two great resources available. So you can go to the ethicsresearch.com website or the GNUradio.org website to get introductory information on how to get started with the software as well as USRPs. You can also email info@ethics.com. To have a more detailed discussion with one of our staff.
Okay. Time for a question from the audience. Juan, what is the power consumption?
So an X310 USRP with two TwinRX daughter boards consumes approximately 45 watts of power, but this will vary depending on the application that's running on it.
Okay. Next question. How can I expand to multiple systems, and is there a limit on the number of channels in a system?
Okay, so let me put up one of the earlier slides. Okay, so here we talk about how to synchronize two X310 devices so you can expand your channel count. So on the back, there are input ports for LO, input and output ports for the LO, as well as a 10 megahertz reference and a PPS time reference. So typically what you would do is use a clock distribution module, which is something we provide as part of our accessories, to distribute a 10 megahertz reference and a PPS signal. And then you would export the LO from one of the TwinRXs and pass that through a slitter system along with amplifiers for buffering and split that one channel to all of the other receiver channels on the TwinRX. So in this example, you see two X310s with a total of 8 channels. You can also scale this into higher channel counts. However, there will be concerns with the kind of splitters and the amplifiers you choose, and you will have to measure and understand the phase delays that are introduced with additional components as you expand your system.
Okay. Next question from the audience. How is the difference between NI-USRP product and the EDIS product? What is the difference?
Okay, that's a great question. So the hardware is the same, and it's just branded with a different logo. The main difference is the software that you use to program applications. So for example, the X310 and 220RX is available under the EDIS Research brand. And you can program that directly using the open source UHD driver, as well as other tools such as the MathWorks or GNU Radio. If you want to develop an application in LabVIEW, you can also use the X310 and the TwinRX, or you can get the NI branded version, which is a USRP 2945. This kit basically has the motherboard and the two TwinRXs put together for you, so you get it as a single product and you can run LabVIEW on it directly. There are also some smaller differences that are product specific. For example, in the diagram we saw earlier, the back of the device is actually a USRP 2945, which is the NI version. And that version actually has the LO input and output ports exposed, so you can route the LO out to another device. Currently in the ETIS brand, the X310 does not have those LO input and output ports, but will be coming out with a modified version of the X310 designed specifically for LO sharing with TwinRX. So that's an example of a product-specific difference. But in general, it's the same hardware with two brands that run different software tools.
Okay, thank you. Next question from the audience. Are there any blocks available in either in the GNU Radio or LabVIEW to support decoding the digital push? Excuse me, decoding the digital push to talk, such as DMR or NXDN?
So I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with those two algorithms specifically. There is quite a lot of work done that's native to GNU Radio for various types of decoders. And if you have a look on CGRAN, there may be those specific algorithms, but I don't know off the top of my head if they're readily available.
Okay. Thank you. And our next question from the audience. What is the retune time on an RX channel of the TwinRX?
So that is currently about 5 milliseconds is what, that was the measurement that I got.
Okay. Next question from the audience. What is the dynamic range of the receiver?
So we generally provide noise figure and IP3 values as well as measurements of the spur level. I believe for across the full frequency range, the highest level spur is around 90-something dBm, but we'll have that information is available in more detail on the TwinRX data sheet, which you can find on the EDIS Research website.
Okay. Next question. What data rates can you achieve on a 1 gigabit Ethernet versus 10 gigabit Ethernet? Can you do a comparison?
Yes, so for the 10 gigabit Ethernet, so actually, first of all, there are two 10 gigabit Ethernet ports on the back of an X310. So with that, you can get the full streaming bandwidth of the system. So in the case of the TwinRX, that is four receive channels That's four receive channels within an X310. Each one is 80 megahertz of bandwidth. So you can stream the full 320 megahertz over the use of both 10 gigabit Ethernet ports. If you want to use 1 gigabit Ethernet, which is a common use case for connecting a device to a laptop, then you're limited to about 20-25 megahertz mega samples per second.
Okay. Next question from the audience. Can you say more about the X310's PCI Express interface? What additional hardware, if any, is needed to get this working in an off-the-shelf PC?
Yes, yeah, so you can get additional accessories for PCI, for using the PCIe through National Instruments. There are three different options for using this device with PCIe. There is a Express card which connects your USRP to a laptop, and I think you get about 50 megasamples per second of bandwidth. There is also an option to get a connector to a PCIe card that goes into your desktop's tower, or you can get a connector to a PXIe card. So PXIe is a modified version of PCIe that is part of NI's ecosystem of test products. So you can connect a USRP via PXIe interface to a PXIe chassis and talk to other and work with other test instruments or hardware that NI provides on the PXI platform. So those are your three options.
Okay. Next question. Can TX and RX be tuned at different frequencies?
So the TwinRX is receive only. That we do have other data boards such as the UBX where you get one receive channel and one independent transmit channel. In that case, you can tune them independently. You have a TX LO and an RX LO, and then that's generally true for most of our bidirectional data boards. The TwinRX is just a specific case of receive only. We find that in the space of SIGINT, having more channel counts within a system to monitor has a significant value to people. But yet there are TX boards you can buy and that you can tune independently.
Okay, so reminder to the audience, keep those questions coming in. You got another 10 to 15 minutes with Juan and to dive into his expertise. Now for our next question. Do I need a clock distribution accessory as well as LO sharing when using multiple X310 and TwinRX devices?
So when using multiple devices, you should at the minimum have a clock distribution module, because what that provides is the 10 megahertz clock reference and the PPS signal, and that's used to synchronize the master clocks of each X310. And so I guess at the lowest level of synchronization, you want all of your channels to be synchronized at baseband. And so you can do that using a clock distribution module. If you want to do more advanced synchronization off the RF front end, then that's what the LO sharing capability is used for.
Okay. Next question. Are there any new daughter boards in development?
Not currently.
Okay. Along those lines, where do you see this technology going 5 years from now? Capability-wise. If you're going to predict the future, Juan.
Yeah, that's a great question. I see the way that the market is going, there is significant interest in expanding into higher frequencies for millimeter wave type of applications. So there are, different wireless communication bodies are defining new standards such as 5G new radio, as well as millimeter wave is used in vehicular radar, and there's also up-and-coming technologies such as V2V communication. So as I mentioned, like at the beginning of my slide, as waveforms and protocols and just comms technology advances, then it's always a cat and mouse game for those of us doing signals intelligence to keep up with it. So I definitely see that as a direction for SDRs is to provide platforms that can allow people to do SIGINT in those frequencies.
Okay. And next question from the audience. Along those lines, again, you talked in your earlier slide about how COTS use is increasing in SIGINT applications and the like. What is driving that? Is it cost, or is it the demand for the high-performance solutions such as your USRP, or is there just a more openness among the community or other? What are you seeing there? And obviously, it looks like it's going to continue.
Yeah, so I don't have, right or wrong answering that. I think, in my opinion, the reason there's a trend for using commercial off-the-shelf components is accessibility. Years ago, it used to be very difficult to build even simple radios and simple communication systems because all the components are designed in-house. And so in order to kind of keep up with how fast technology is moving, whether you're a telecom operator or your hobbyist radio enthusiast or you're a SIGINT operator, being able to create and deploy systems faster and stay ahead of the game is one, I think, is one of the factors that is really pushing this trend and desirability to use COTS components.
Thank you for that. Next question from the audience. Are there selectable analog filter banks on the TwinRX front end?
So there are filter banks on there are RF filter banks on the RF front end. They are not individually selectable, so they're placed where the different frequency ranges from 10 megahertz to 6 gigahertz, and the depending on what you operate in, the driver selects those filters for you. They're put there in order to improve the selectivity within the bands that you operate in. So this is one of those things where you kind of have to make a trade-off because we generally design SDRs to be general purpose, but we also want to optimize the performance as much as possible across all the bands supported by its frequency range.
Okay. Next question. What is the advantage of LO sharing for phase coherency? Please explain.
Yes. So LO sharing definitely is not the only way to achieve phase coherency. So I'll do a comparison of the TwinRX and a similar product called the UVX. So the UVX daughter board doesn't have LO sharing capability. However, the LO of the receiver and the transmitter have the capability to resync its outputs. So what that means is if you discipline the oscillators of all the receivers to a 10 megahertz reference, and all of the hardware operations are then aligned to a PPS signal, then you can retune all the receivers on a UVX and tell it to output at the same phase using a resync feature. And if you do this, this basically gives you a constant phase offset between all of your channels, which you can then calibrate out, and then that is what phase coherency is. If you share the LO, you get the same end result, which is a constant phase offset between all of the channels that you can calibrate out, you can measure and calibrate out. But the main difference is in the instantaneous variation of the phase offset. Because you're sharing yellow, all of the channels have the same, are getting the signal from the same LO, so they have correlated phase noise, which ultimately results in less variation once you've removed a constant phase offset. When you share a reference clock, you still have multiple independent LOs that are disciplined to a single reference. Each one of those LOs adds its own uncorrelated phase noise to the system, and so when you remove the constant phase offset, there will be, you'll see wider variation. And so there's no, I don't have a good answer as to, you know, which one you should use, because it really depends on your particular application's requirements. But for a more robust and tighter, more robust system with tighter synchronization, generally LO sharing is preferred, but it's not necessarily a requirement in most cases.
Thank you. Next question. Earlier in your slides, you talk about how the Kintex you guys leveraged the Kintex FPGA from Xilinx. What are the advantages of that device, and do you ever get requests or offer the Altera, now Intel, of course, based FPGA-based designs?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I can do that. Your device leveraged, you talk in your slides how you leveraged the Kintex FPGA from Xilinx. Mm-hmm. What are the advantages of that device, and do you ever get requests or offer FPGAs from Altera, leverage FPGAs from Altera and Intel in your designs?
Yeah, so I think a long time ago on the earlier products, we might have used some Altera FPGAs. Right now, all of our products leverage Xilinx, and we've been on the Xilinx platform for quite a long time. We do get requests from time to time, but predominantly most users are pretty satisfied with our use of Xilinx. I think, one point of feedback that I get from people of why Xilinx works for people in the SDR space is this is the kind of technology where people are prototyping, the frontier of new wireless systems and design. And people who are deploying on FPGAs and SDRs are generally pushing the design tools to their limit. And we find that in general that the Xilinx design tool like Vivado is really well made for the advanced FPGA expert who really want to optimize and get the most out of their system. So that's one of the reasons why we prefer Xilinx.
Okay, thank you. We talked about SIGINT and some other military applications. Are there any other military and commercial applications that are taking advantage of the USRP SDR solutions?
Yeah, so definitely. I mean, so this presentation was focused on SIGINT, particularly DF and then spectrum monitoring. But, the SDRs lend themselves to applications like public safety radio, so you can do a lot of land mobile, and do waveforms like P25 terrestrial. There is also applications in NILCOM where people are building MANPACK radios. So we have, like I mentioned earlier, we have small compact embedded devices that are well designed to be built as a mobile radio that you can, that a soldier can carry, and it's highly portable. Outside of this space, there's also spectrum monitoring in general has wide uses outside of aerospace and defense. There's with mobile like cellular becoming like bigger and bigger in today's world, cellular operators will leverage SDRs to do regulatory related things, as well as they can be put into systems that you can do drive tests and do field tests of infrastructure. There are people that take SDR and explore topics such as spectrum sharing in order to make better use of, you know, large chunks of our spectrum that are currently dedicated but not being used all that often. So really, like the way I see an SDR, the application options are pretty endless. It's up to you to define the functionality. And our goal is to really make the radio as generic and general purpose as possible with the performance needed for both high-end stuff, you know, high-end applications, as well as quick and simple prototyping.
All right, thank you. And you guys are involved in the DARPA Spectrum Challenge as well, providing some equipment to that.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So, sorry, go ahead, John.
No, go ahead. If you want to elaborate on that, go ahead. We have a couple minutes.
Yeah, so just, you know, very quickly, I mean, we worked with DARPA to build, I think, a 128 channel emulator that they, so this is like multiple USRPs built into a large test bed, and they, you know, they have this available for contestants in their spectrum challenge, where they will share, you know, they will share this resource and test their UEs, which run different algorithms, and the goal is to see, you know, how well they can collaborate with other users in the spectrum space, you know, depending on different, you know, different scenarios that the channel emulator models.
Excellent. And one quick last question, and then we'll wrap it up for the day. Are there any upcoming industry events where the audience can see your technology on display?
So Milcom will have a booth there with several demos, as well as showcasing some new products that we've announced. That is coming up in the third week of October. After that, there is also the Wireless Innovation Forums conference held in San Diego. So that's I think November the 15th and 16th. And then in December, there is the AOC Symposium held in Washington, D.C. I think that is the last week of November or first week of December. And that's a good place to see, you know, a lot of use cases for SDRs and other technology within the SIGINT space.
Yeah, it's an excellent event. And just as a side note, Milcom event will be held in Baltimore. And that brings us right up to our time limit for today. Sorry we didn't get to all of your questions. Someone may get back to you after the ECAS with more information. I would like to thank Juan Liu for speaking today and National Instruments for sponsoring the event. Please remember that this and all Open Systems Media ECAS are copyrighted and may not be recorded or used in any way without the express written consent of Open Systems Media. Webcast will be archived online today and be available for 1 year. There will also be an MP3 version of the event available. Thank you all for attending and look forward to seeing you on future Open Systems Media webcasts. Goodbye.
Thank you.